Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Today's podcast is sponsored by AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens. There is strength in numbers, folks. Join today at amac.us/Carter. Guys, I'm back from the border only for a short respite here at home. And I got to tell you, the border is probably the worst I've ever seen it in all the years that I've covered it. I know I've said that before, but it's gut-wrenching to see what's going on down there. I mean, even the other night while I was on Sean's show, just before I came on live for my live hit, and I was out by the Rio Grande, and there was a body, somebody that had attempted to cross the border right there in the Rio Grande. It's fairly deep, and it moves. In some areas, it's as deep as 80 feet where we were at, but the water underneath, it's rushing. It's rushing. It looks calmer on top, but when people try to cross, sometimes the water just pulls them under. And there was a person not too far from me, maybe less than 100 feet behind me while we're doing the show. And the Mexican authorities and U.S. authorities were both debating on who was going to get the body because it was literally on an island right in the middle of both countries. And I was just sitting there watching it before I had to go on live. I mean, it's gut-wrenching what's going on, right? We're going to talk about that on the show today. I'll be joined by my good friend and vice president of the National Border Patrol Council, Chris Cabrera. We will discuss what he expects to happen when the Biden administration ends the Remain in Mexico policy next month. That's Title 42 that you're all hearing about. Oh, and guess what? CNN just discovered that the border might be an interesting issue in this year's elections, right? The bubble that some of these people live in is absolutely unbelievable. They live in a bubble all their own, which is the reason why in 2016, President Trump blew their minds when he won the presidency. It was like, what? They were crying. Remember all that? I mean, it seems like so long ago. But all those reporters shedding tears, CNN, they were like falling off their chairs. They were pounding their tables. They were stomping. They were screaming in the streets. They just couldn't believe it. I'll also explain just how unhinged the left is getting against successful Republican governors like Ron DeSantis and Glenn Youngkin. And by the way, that has all to do with Nicole Wallace and the MSDNC and their lies. And they're just weird explanations for things. You guys gotta listen to this. Please follow and subscribe. Get all the links at sarahacarter.com. That is sarahacarter.com. And while you are there, I would love for you to sign up for our email list so that you don't get shadow banned, right? Hopefully Elon Musk will be taking care of all of that. He is right now getting ready to move into the hostile takeover of Twitter, and he's raised the money to do it, and I know he's going to do it. He's going to do it. But before we get to all of this, before we get to what's going on at the border, the crazy things that Robert Francis, aka Beto O'Rourke, is saying and all of that other stuff, I want to talk to you guys about smelly things. I know. I've got three smelly dogs that are actually staring at me from my window here in my office. They are outside playing. I'm keeping them out there. But if I let them in, guess what? My Eden Pure Thunderstorm air purifier would literally make my room smell great. It has this most amazing ionization that literally takes the stink out of the room. So the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier's proven oxy technology quickly destroys viruses, odors, mold, and so much more. Guys, so much more. I've already told you about what my dogs are doing. I don't even smell them. If they were in here, I wouldn't smell them. Right now, you can save $200 on an Eden Pure Thunderstorm 3-pack with the code Sarah, that's S-A-R-A-3. Get full coverage for your kitchen, office, bedroom, or anywhere you want to get rid of odors. Then go to EdenPureDeals.com and put in the discount code. You got to put in this discount code to get your $200 off. Put Sarah3, S-A-R-A-3. Okay, so I told you a little bit about, at the top of the show, about what happened at the border with the deceased that was behind us. And honestly, I don't know if it was a man or a woman or a child. The Mexican authorities were there. They ended up taking the body, God rest their soul, you know, to Mexico. And then obviously, I'm sure there they'll try to get an identification of the person that lost their life. On that day, this was just several days ago, there were already three people that drowned in the area where I was at. Three people. There are roughly 11,000 people coming in a day across the U.S.-Mexico border from all over the world. The death was a humanitarian issue. It's a humanitarian crisis. And it's not because there's some massive war going on in Mexico, other than, of course, there's the cartel wars. We know that. We know that. I'm talking about, you know, between nations. I'm not talking about a huge natural disaster. We're talking about the Biden administration. And the fact that the Biden administration, from the moment President Biden entered office, just opened the floodgates and said, we're going to just remove all of President Trump's executive authority at the border. We're going to change that up. We're going to get rid of it. And anybody who comes in, well, what the heck, they can stay. We are not going to do the same thing as the Trump administration. I want to tell you this. President Trump's policy at the border, and he was being advised by Stephen Miller, who I know, and a lot of lies have been told about Stephen Miller, a lot of lies. He has worked diligently to advise on what is happening at the border. This is the reason why he advised it, because he, like I and others, know the horrors of human trafficking, know the horrors of what the cartels can do when they bring in billions of dollars of narcotics into our country every year. And by the way, when they are used as a proxy by China to bring in fentanyl into our country, that is killing our children and poisoning our country. And I am telling you, destroying this nation for generations to come. This is irregular warfare at the border. But for some reason, the Biden administration thinks it's a-okay. They want this to happen. In my opinion, they made this happen, in my opinion, and based on fact. I'm going to play you a clip. I was in Texas. I spoke with a rancher, a Texas rancher, such a fantastic man, such a fantastic guy. His name is Wayne King. He's a Texan. He's been there his whole life. He has worked on multiple ranches. He works at this ranch, which I'm not going to disclose what ranch it is, but it's an exotic ranch, and it's on a lot of acreage of land, and it buttresses up right to the Mexican border. And I want you to hear how frustrated Mr. Wayne King is at what is happening, not only to the property that he manages, but what is happening to our country. And he has a warning for all of us.
How much worse is it now than it was before under the Biden administration right now? You were just talking about that.
I've been here 4 years, and the Biden administration, when it started January, it started, you can nearly put it on the book, January last year, it was like a floodgate. 3 years prior to that, I probably fixed maybe 5, 6, 10 at the most holes in 3 years. Right now, from the day that the Biden administration took over, I have fixed 172 holes in my fence.
Is that a warning, too, to the administration? They're refusing to do anything here. If you could talk to the
administration needs to get off their butts and get down here and take a look. the ones that want to vote for this better life, come down here and see what, and spend a month with us. I challenge them. Come down here and see what we're going through.
If they do repeal Title 42, if they take it away,
it's going to get bad. It's going to get real bad.
You can just hear the frustration in Mr. King's voice. He was so grateful after that interview. He called me. He was watching Sean Hannity that night, and he said, I never got so many calls. That's because people were calling him to thank him for telling the truth, to thank him for going on camera and challenging the Biden administration to come to Texas. Because our ranchers are not only losing their property, they're finding bodies on their property. They're being threatened. They're being threatened by people. There are ranchers and farmers and others who I have spoken to who have had men show up at their homes in the middle of the night dressed in camouflage, sneaking around their house, looking to see if someone's in the house, looking to see if they could take something, knocking on the doors. Can you imagine how terrifying that would be? Can you imagine just in your home right now, sleeping, your children upstairs asleep, and you hear some knocking on the door at like 1 a.m. and all of a sudden you look through your door, you've got 10, 12 men, 7, 8 men, who, whatever, standing there in camo. In fact, in one of the video clips that, because they have security on this exotic ranch, by the way, it's really incredible. I wish I could remember the name of some of the animals that were on there, like deer, different types of deer from Africa and other parts of the world that were just absolutely stunningly beautiful to see. But one of the videos that they have, because they've got security all over this ranch, kind of monitoring different areas of the ranch, shows these guys, you know, they're cutting through the fence. That's what they do. They cut through the fence. So people actually lose their livelihoods, because they'll lose. I think that the ranch Mr. King was on, he said roughly $50,000 to $60,000 last year in lost stock. You know what I mean? Like the animals just took off and went through the fence lines that were cut open. So in one of those videos, there was about 10 or 15 guys, you know, moving through at like 1, 2 a.m. And the very last guy literally had a lion. He had a mountain lion slung over his shoulders. Like they killed a mountain lion with, what do you think, with a knife? I would think more likely with a gun. You have men traversing your terrain on your own property in the United States of America, dressed in camouflage, not wanting to be apprehended. They're not the ones turning themselves in. These aren't the families that are walking up the road and, you know, take me in, process me, let me go free. These are the guys that they don't want to be caught. These are more than likely criminals, more than likely people that have records. They don't want to be caught. Maybe they have been deported before. Or what if they're terrorists? We don't know. We don't know why. Because just as Mr. King said, only 30% of the people that cross through his property ever get picked up by DPS, ever get picked up by Border Patrol, because you got to call someone, you got to wait for someone to get there, and then hopefully they're close enough and they can get there. But 70% disappear, make it to the road, get picked up, move into America, become a part of our fabric. I want you to hear, I want you to hear this clip. This is Beto O'Rourke, and he is flip-flopping. This is how, by the way, it's Robert Francis O'Rourke. We're going to talk to Chris Cabrera about this guy. I mean, what, the only reason I don't want to live in Texas is because of him. I actually love Texas. I don't even mind if he's here. But Beto is really Robert Francis O'Rourke, and he's flip-flopping and now wants to scrap Title 42 because he says if we just let the migrants in on their first try, the border numbers, they just won't be as bad. Listen to this.
But I want to turn our attention to Title 42. You don't think it's a good idea for the Biden administration to end Title 42. Why?
No, I think it's time to end Title 42. Okay. I don't think we should have ever implemented it. It's a very cynical reading of U.S. law that, again, has done nothing to improve public health or safety. And when I listen to Border Patrol agents who are patrolling on the border, they tell me it actually increases the number of migrant crossing attempts. It creates more chaos because, Jonathan, as you know, those agents are forced to turn away those migrants and asylum seekers without processing them, detaining them, or allowing them to apply for asylum. So they're crossing again and again, maybe every single day of the week.
Think about what he just said there. It's just a barrel of lies, and it's just rhetoric. It's not true. By removing Title 42, the DHS, so he's not even listening to his own people in the Democrat administration right now. He's not listening to them, because DHS right now is estimating that when Title 42 is removed, there will be 18,000 plus people a day attempting to enter into our country. 18,000 plus people a day. Now, under Title 42, the estimates are that 110,000 people were sent back. And I've been talking to Border Patrol senior officials, of course, Chris Cabrera with the union and other members of the union and other BP agents and even folks in ICE officers. And this is what happens, folks. This is so you can get a feel for, first of all, the DHS fudges numbers all the time. There's just a bunch of fudge numbers. So I don't even know what numbers to believe, what not to believe. There's no way, just like Chris has said before, that there are 11 million illegals in our country, because that's been the same number since I started covering it more than 10 years ago. That there has got to be way more. And the numbers on, you know, people that are for expedited removals and all that, those numbers are all crazy and all over the place. What we know is that our border is being flooded. What we know is that we can't hold people because there's not enough space to hold them. So we got to let them go. And when people get into the deportation process, right? Let's say ICE is going to send people out of the country under Title 8. That's where they expedite them out of the country right away. Once an ICE plane is full and they have no more planes, guess what they do? They release everyone else. So the numbers, so basically Border Patrol apprehends them. They turn them over to ICE. ICE tries to fly. If they do qualify under Title 8 and they got to send them back home, they put them on a plane. They try to send them back home. And then once that plane's full, they release all the rest. And I think that some of the numbers, by the way, with Border Patrol, when they turn them over to ICE, I think that's called an apprehension. So don't think because people have been apprehended that they're being returned. Apprehensions are the people that they're letting go too. I just want to make that clear, so that you understand what that is. And Beto O'Rourke's like clearly should know better, because he's from the state of Texas. He should clearly know better, but he doesn't care. He doesn't care because he is politicking. He is playing a game. He has an ideology. More than likely it leans, we know, towards socialism, towards communism. He doesn't want to see America have a border. He doesn't really care. He does not care what you think. He cares about his ideology and what he can make happen. I want you to hear this. You know, March was the worst. March was the worst border crossing numbers since Biden took office. I want you to think about this. Over 200,000 encounters. That's what they said. 80,000 released, although I suspect that number was even higher. Can you believe that? Do you realize that the numbers have increased? Let's just talk about fiscal year 2022, right? Fiscal year 2022, over 1 million people in the first 6 months, a 79% increase since fiscal year 2021. That's insane. We cannot sustain that. We cannot sustain that. We should not accept that. This is interesting. CNN just discovered, guys, that the border may be an issue for Biden, that it's going to be a potential problem. Where have these people been? Where have they been? You know, all their focus is on inflation and, of course, the impact of the upcoming midterm elections. And they've talked about that, but they've avoided for a long time the border issue. And they've avoided it because they have been a big proponent of open borders. They have been a huge proponent of open borders. But now that the Gallup poll came out, and the Gallup poll is saying more than 4 in 10 Americans told the Gallup poll in March that they have a great deal of worry about illegal immigration, I would suggest that number is even higher as well, which is how they framed the issue in the survey. That number is consistent with Gallup's polling last year as well. It is one of the most important issues, I think, for American voters, along with education. We're going to get to Nicole Wallace and the craziness of Nicole Wallace because she lives in a bubble like all the rest of them, right? Look, before I go any further, before I get to Nicole Wallace, before I talk to you about, you know, what we need to do together as a nation to win back our country, I want to tell you a little bit about a great sponsor that I have and how much it's helped me while I'm on the road, right? Covering stories. And it's a new way of taking dietary supplements. It's a new way of taking vitamins, and it's Healthy Cell. Healthy Cell is literally the next generation of dietary supplements. I love it. I love it because I can carry it with me and I don't have to carry all of these different bottles. If you take supplements from a pill form now, then it's time to change. Why? Because studies show you don't absorb all of those nutrients in pill form, and they can be really hard to swallow. Vitamins you can't absorb are literally a waste of money. That's why doctors and nutritionists created Healthy Cell. I tried it, and guess what? I ditched the pills. And right now, I have an amazing offer for all of my listeners. It's 20% off your first order. Journey to better health with Healthy Cell. Go to healthycell.com/Carter. That's healthycell.com/Carter. And use the promo code Carter for 20% off your first order. Again, that's healthycell.com/Carter.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital. Así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20. Vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente. Una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
And I'm pleased to announce that I've got Chris Cabrera on the other line. He's the vice president of the National Border Patrol Council, and we have been friends for a very, very long time. First of all, Chris, it's great to have you on the Sarah Carter Show. People won't believe this, but I just drove 4.5 hours to make it home. I was just with Chris, actually, in McAllen, Texas. As you know, I've been traveling along the border now, Chris, I'm not even going to say it for this year because I've known you for many, many years, my friend. So thank you for being on the show today.
Not a problem. Happy to be here.
You represent the agents of the Border Patrol. How many agents right now in the Border Patrol that the union represents?
I think it's somewhere around, it could be off a little bit. I think it's between 17,000 and 18,000.
Wow, 17,000 and 18,000. Well, Beto O'Rourke says agents that he has spoken with want Title 42 removed. I talked about that at the opening of my monologue, a little bit of what Title 42 is. What's going on here, Chris? Well, you know,
I don't know who he's talking to, what agents, if they're Border Patrol agents, if they're insurance agents. I don't know what agent he's talking to. I'm sure there may be one or two agents out there that want it removed. And to be quite honest, we don't really care what's in there as long as it's stemming the flow of people coming in. And what it amounts to is we got a water leak coming somewhere, and we're going to open that pipe. but we're not going to put a bucket to catch that water, which is how the Biden administration's been. They remove a project, they remove a policy, but they don't have anything to back it up to catch what's coming after they remove that policy. You know, this clown, I don't know this guy. I've never met him, but I don't understand where he's getting this from. What we want is a secure border. That's what we want.
Well, I think everybody in America wants a secure border. Yeah, except for Beto. Well, by the way, it is not Beto. It is Robert Francis O'Rourke. We're just going to make that clear right now. I mean, he calls himself Beto. There's a lot of Betos in McAllen, but none of them like Robert Francis.
Yeah, I don't think I've met too many people that really see that guy as somebody serious. I mean, maybe he knows something. I don't know. I don't know. You know, living along the U.S.-Mexican border, he should understand that, you know, a wall, granted, it's not the only solution, but it is a very important tool in the toolbox, and we need it.
Right. And Title 42 as well. And there's other, and I'm not just going to talk about Republicans. And this is something you've always said, Chris, that this is not just a Republican or a Democrat issue. This should be everybody's issue. We could talk about Henry Cuellar. You know, people may not agree with him on a lot of things, but Henry Cuellar has been adamantly speaking out against the end of Title 42. He knows he has constituents. We have Senator Kyrsten Sinema. She's a Democrat. Mark Kelly and others who have been speaking out against rescinding Title 42 because the American people can't handle what is happening right now on the border. And it's worse than it's ever been. Let's talk about what you're seeing. What's different this year under President Biden than what you saw under President Trump?
Well, you know, under President Trump, we had Title 42 and the Remain in Mexico program going hand in hand with each other. And that was stemming the flow of what we're seeing. Once that was removed, and I know the administration is saying, well, it's seasonal, and there's spikes every season. And there are spikes every season. But we've never been this high. We've never had this many people come through. We're seeing thousands a day just in the Rio Grande Valley, not even nationwide. Nationwide, we're, I think, somewhere around 11,000 a day. That's what we should be seeing per month, not per day. So it's not seasonal. And with that, more people are coming, more criminal aliens are coming. Obviously, there's going to be more bad apples whenever you increase the numbers. And then we're seeing a lot more drugs coming through and hard drugs. The crystal meth, the fentanyl, the cocaine, the heroin, it's all coming through here. Rohypnol, you name it. And this guy or some of these folks in D.C., they want to stick with their gang mentality. And it's us versus them. And they vote one way. We have to vote the opposite. And that doesn't help anybody out. That doesn't help anybody out, much less the people that are down here, the women and children that are coming across and are being exploited by the cartels in Mexico.
You know, I was going to ask you, because that is very important. You brought up the fact that this is just, I mean, 11,000 a day. DHS's numbers right now that were leaked out, and I think there are people, even officials within the Department of Homeland Security and Border Patrol, that really want to see change. They're estimating once Title 42 goes away, it's going to be 18,000 plus a day.
Yeah, I've heard anywhere from 18 to 30. And what gets me is, regardless of what your position is in the agency, I mean, you got to speak up. You know, if you're in a position to speak up and have a voice up at the highest levels, by all means. I mean, yeah, I get it. You're worried about your career advancement or whatever, but you got to pick. Are you going to lead Border Patrol, or are you going to lead CBP, or are you just cushioning yourself for your job? And our higher leaders, our highest leaders, whether it's Border Patrol, DHS, CBP, they need to speak up and say what's good and stop being yes men. Because when you're a yes man, nothing gets done for anybody. And then once they retire, now they have all these things to say. Well, you should have said it when you had a platform to say it. And if you want to take care of us, not after the fact.
Well, let's talk about Mayorkas. I mean, how many times have people called for his resignation? Lawmakers have called for his resignation, that they say that he has utterly failed the Department of Homeland Security. I've talked to ICE officers. I've talked to Border Patrol agents. I don't know who Beto's talking to, but I never met one yet that said, wow, the Biden administration is doing an amazing job. We're doing so great. Tell me what you're hearing from the men on the ground. You represent, you know, you're the vice president of the National Border Patrol Council, and you guys have done a phenomenal job of getting the message out, getting the message. You, Brandon Judd, others who are talking to the public when the agents can't. So what are the agents telling you about what's going on with their leadership? You brought up a really good point. Say it now. Don't say it after you retire. And how is the morale inside the agency?
No, the morale's in the toilet. I've never seen it this bad. And I've seen it pretty bad. I've never seen it this bad. Guys are concerned. There's that kind of what if when Title 42 ends, because we know we're going to get hammered. We know that coming in for the day, our manpower is low. I mean, I'm with the largest station on the southwest border, and we have four zones that we cover, roughly about 10 to 12 miles each zone. We only have two or three people per zone. That's pretty slim numbers out there, especially when you look at the amount of people that are crossing. So we know we're going to get hammered here, but we also know nobody's going to speak up for us. And Mayorkas is just, he's not doing his job. I mean, right, wrong, or indifferent. I know this guy, he's not going to like what I don't know if he'll hear it, because I don't know if he listens to your show. He should. But I don't know what this guy is thinking. I don't know what he's thinking, but he's not doing us any favors. The only thing he's ever come out and done is criticize us publicly. But he doesn't, when he comes down here, he doesn't go down to the river. He doesn't see what's happening. He stays back in the air conditioned somewhere, but he doesn't know what's going on. So how can somebody who never came out and looked for themselves know what's best for this agency?
I don't know. And that's what you and I, for years, I think we've known each other since when? 2012, 2013, maybe before that. I've been working on this border, covering stories on the border for years now, since 2003. And I mean, I've never seen it this bad. But what I think is so infuriating to me is that the lawmakers and the people in Washington, D.C., especially in the executive branch, Vice President Kamala Harris, President Biden, I mean, they've not only not helped you, they made it possible for it to be overrun. And thirdly, and tell me if I'm wrong, Chris, they've also badmouthed agents even before investigations. I mean, I could just point out the most recent one, you know, that has been a big controversial issue since it happened with the guys on horseback, with our Border Patrol horse patrol, you know, and what happened to those agents was horrific.
Yeah, it's not right. It's not. And, you know, people make mistakes, and I get it. You know, the administration, whether it's president, vice president, or even the secretary of DHS, they had a knee-jerk response and they were wrong. At the end of the day, they were wrong. At least man up and admit you were wrong and go forward. Because nobody's going to respect you if you can't even admit when you were wrong. I'm wrong all the time, you know. But when you're wrong, you got to admit it. You got to own it. You got to move forward. If you can't do that, you got no business doing a job like he's doing. It's just shameful the way he's running around saying what he's saying. And as far as the vice president goes, you know, this root cause of immigration. I mean, I had that solved the first day. It's the White House. That's the root cause of the problem we're seeing. It's like seventh grade math or sixth grade math. What's the least common denominator? All these 156 countries we've had this year, all of them have one thing in common: lax immigration by the United States. That's why they're coming. It has nothing to do with transgender studies in Pakistan or basket weaving wherever. It's our lax immigration policies.
You talk to the people that come across the border. I've talked to them. What are they telling you when you ask them, when they're saying like, well, why'd you decide to come here? Why did you take this risk? Why are you with this large group? Why'd you bring your 3-year-old, in the hands of smugglers, across dangerous terrain? What do they say to you?
Well, it's different when I'm in uniform and when I'm in plain clothes. When I'm in uniform, it's a standard. We need asylum, political asylum, this, that, the other. When I'm in plain clothes and they don't realize I'm a Border Patrol agent yet, they tell me about how there's no jobs, how they're looking for a job. They know this is the time that they can come across because in their opinion, Biden will let them in. So that's the reason they're crossing. But then when they get in front of a uniformed officer or agent, it becomes more of the standard rehearsed line that they have.
Do you think they're actually trained by the human traffickers and the coyotes to say certain things so that they can stay, right? I mean, it's credible fear claims.
Yeah, no doubt.
When they do a credible fear claim, that immediately puts a whole other process in place, right? So what happens as soon as they say, look, I'm scared to going back to Honduras because a witch lives next door to me and she might strike my house with a thunderbolt of lightning. Actually, that was a very real case. And that lady was actually able to stay with that credible fear claim. So, I mean, when they make credible fear claims, what is it that they're,
you know, that happens? And a lot of times the credible fear claims aren't necessarily what falls under credible fear. But they say that they live in a bad neighborhood. There's no jobs. And hey, times are tough. I get it. That's rough. But you can't tell me there's not one good neighborhood between Guatemala and the United States. There's a lot of them are nonsense claims, but they know all they have to do is start the process. Once they start the process, they get into the country and they disappear. That's all they need. They just need to get their foot in the door and they're gone.
What are they given? They're given a notice to appear, right? So is that what's given to them by ICE?
They get a notice to appear, or sometimes they get what's called an alternative to detention, which we write up some cursory paperwork and tell them they need to meet with an immigration official wherever they're going. And most of the times they don't. They're given a brand new cell phone, real nice cell phones, so that we can keep track of them. And they end up in the trash can at the bus station. So, you know, they know the rules. They know how to game the system. They've been gaming the system since 2013. And we've done nothing. We know what's going on, but for some reason, the government can't catch on to this. If this was a for-profit company, it would have been bankrupt years ago. I mean, we're just hemorrhaging money the way we're doing things, and we know the problem. We just refuse to fix it because of this gang mentality of both sides, of the Republicans and the Democrats.
Well, and we've seen it. We've seen the wasteful spending. I've been out there on the border with you many times. We've been looking at it since they stopped building the wall. We've seen the pileup of millions of dollars on the border of contractor equipment, fencing that's just rotting in the sun, you know, other parts of, and then the money that they're still paying these contractors, right? I mean, is it just so frustrating to you to see? I mean, you have Operation Lone Star in place and, you know, Governor Abbott is doing everything he can to try to get as many resources to the border to protect our nation. And first of all and foremost, protect the state of Texas, which he is responsible for. But there's just so much wasteful spending on the federal level. I mean, it's got to blow your guys' minds away. I mean, it's just got to be the worst thing for your morale.
Yeah, it's absolutely ridiculous how they're doing it. The wastefulness of the federal government, where the government spent, you know, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars on these fence panels, and they're just sitting there and they're not going to be installed because the new administration says that they're not going to continue this wall. So in the meantime, all this money was spent ahead of time and they're just going to throw it away. They're not even going to finish this area. And it's just a waste of resources. And there's really no reason for them doing what they're doing, only to prove a point that they can undo what the last president did.
I've spoken to many people, Chris, that actually believe that this is a policy in place by this administration because they want to flood the country. They want to dismantle that border. We've seen Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, others say that they want to defund, you know, our agencies. They want to dismantle ICE. They want to reduce the power of Border Patrol and DHS. And we've seen that kind of rhetoric. And now we're seeing the border just wide open.
Yeah, you know, what's interesting about that kind of rhetoric is the Congress has the ability to do those things, to defund, to change the laws, to do all kinds of things. It's interesting how the people that have the power to do it talk this big game about how they're going to do it and when they're going to do it, but they never do it. So it shows you they're not serious about it. They're just puffing up their chest, showing, look how tough I am. Look what I'm going to say. Give me the next soundbite so I can be YouTube famous. But they're not actually trying to do anything. They're not actually trying to fix anything. And they want to say how they know about what's going on down here. But when they come down here, they don't see the actual what we see. They see empty parking lots and cry in front of them. But they don't come out and see the actual human suffering that we see. And believe me, if they spent one day just seeing what we see, they'd have a whole different outlook on this, because we're seeing people at their worst, and it's heartbreaking to see what they go through. And these folks are just using them to bring more people into the country, And I don't know if it's so much to flood the country and bring it, you know, to a standstill as much it is it, as it is just hate that they, the hate that they have for others that in, from the previous administration. So in a sense, they're cutting off their nose to spite their face. They're gonna do whatever they can to flip over what the last administration did just to prove a point. But that has real consequences that they'll never fear because they will never fear those consequences or feel those consequences because they're so far removed from the actual area that is happening.
That's such a great point, Chris. But they may end up feeling it because we're seeing reports right now, right? That there were 42, at least this is what we know, of 42 migrants that were apprehended at the southern border under the Biden administration. Of those, I think 23 were apprehended at the southern border. The others made their way in and then they were apprehended in country. But those individuals were connected or had known ties to terrorist organizations. That tells me that the impact of having a non-secure border, the impact of having a porous border could eventually come back to haunt all of these lawmakers. If, for example, a sleeper cell, an Al-Qaeda sleeper cell targeted one of our major cities, or somebody brought in a weapon of mass destruction. I mean, this is very serious because I know our U.S. intelligence has been warning about this for some time. Are you worried about that at all?
Yeah, you know, that's always in the back of our minds. And, you know, whether it's one or 21, we only need one to really create havoc here in the United States. And, you know, and that's just the people we know about that we've apprehended. That's not the other ones that have gotten away from us, that have slipped through undetected, or the ones that just, you know, managed to not get on that watch list, so that passed right under our noses, and they're here somewhere, and who knows when this thing will activate. But these people, they're more concerned up in D.C. about keeping their job than they are about doing their job, and that's a shame.
I don't even know how they'll explain it to the American people. And I've said this before. I talked to Dan Bongino about this on his radio show last week. I mean, what would an administration say? Because now they can't say we would have never known. They can't say that they didn't know that not protecting the border would allow terrorists to enter our country or enemy states to use those terrorists as proxy groups against us. There's nothing they can say. We saw what happened in September 11th. When, you know, 19 Al-Qaeda terrorists, you'd basically sleeper cells, caused destruction on September 11th that led to 20 years of war in Afghanistan and the deaths of thousands of U.S. troops and tens of thousands of civilians. I mean, the aftershock, the effects of that attack in the United States wasn't just limited to that day. And I tell people that if there's another attack in the United States, they can't hold another 9/11 commission and pray that they can put the blame on Border Patrol. I mean, does it ever worry you that they'll say, well, why didn't you guys catch him at the border?
Yeah, you know, I'm not too worried about that because I think at the end of the day, you know, I think it's pretty clear that even though we do catch a ton of people, we're pretty effective with what we do.
Right.
But they don't want us catching anybody. They don't want us catching anybody. And they're just going to look for a scapegoat like they did with 9/11. They're always going to try and blame it on the last guy or blame it on Putin or blame it on somebody. It's never their fault. And I think that's when the American people, whether Republican, Democrat, or independent, somewhere in the middle, who knows? People need to wake up and understand what's going on. And, you know, some of these politicians do not have the best interests of their constituents at heart. And I think that's what needs to be fixed there.
I do too. I always say, you know, November can't come fast enough. 2024 can't come fast enough. What is it that you need? I mean, let's, you know, before I let you go, because I know there's just so much I want to talk to you about, but what is it that the Border Patrol agents need? What can the public do to help support our federal law enforcement and what you are all doing on the border? Because I think, like, first of all, I want to let everyone out there know, as you hear Chris and you're hearing what's happening on the border, this is a man who I know has put himself in harm's way. He has helped children at the border, has been the first line of medical help for a child that almost died. And if it hadn't have been for you, Chris, that child probably would not have survived. You have caught COVID. You have had agents that have died of COVID. You have had, I mean, situations. We were just looking today at the big board in your office earlier this morning of all the agents since the founding of the Border Patrol and the pre-Border Patrol, you got to explain what that is in a minute, but that have given their lives for their country, literally have given their lives for their country. These are men and women that put other people before them. They really do. And they're asked to do such a difficult job. I mean, that's gotta be one of the toughest things. What can we do to help support that?
It's quite simple. You know, vote, get out and vote. You know, don't take it for granted. Get out and vote, inform yourself. If you have to watch 4 different news programs a day just to find out what the middle ground is and what the truth is, do it. But it's very important that people educate themselves about what's going on. Talk to somebody that you know that works down here. Get the advice, or get the know what's going on straight from the source, then as opposed to third, fourth, and fifth hand, and get out there at the end of the day and vote, and get the ones that don't have our best interests or your best interests at heart. Get them out of there.
And if you had a message for Alejandro Mayorkas and President Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, and you could sit in a room with them, what would you say to them now? I mean, we've talked about this before. It's been a year. What would you say to them?
I'd tell them, wake up and see what's going on. Do your job or hand it off to somebody that will.
Because people could die.
Yeah, people have died. Many people have died making this trip. And that's just what we know about on our side of the river. Who knows how many didn't make the journey from their homeland up through Mexico. There's hundreds, if not thousands, of people that have fallen by the wayside, and nobody's looking for them.
You're absolutely right. That is a tragedy. And, you know, we can look at it as a national security issue that could one day, we pretend it doesn't affect us now. But you're absolutely right. We've had over 100,000 deaths last year from fentanyl and overdoses from heroin. And our children are being poisoned by the cartels. We have a situation in the United States that's so out of hand, with our nation being divided up by these cartels. And we have an open sieve for China, Russia, Iran, or any other enemy to try to target us. And you guys are doing everything you can to protect us. I mean, thank you. Thank you for actually apprehending those 42 terrorists. I mean, and actually being able to get them off of our streets. But like you said, if the Biden administration doesn't let you do your job, doesn't let you deport people, removes and rescinds Title 42, then we're going to have a lot of problems.
Yeah, and we appreciate you guys in the media putting our story out there, because if it wasn't for that, nobody would know what's going on, because nobody wants to come down here.
Oh, you're welcome, Chris. Thank you so much. Thanks for everything you do. And you know, I'll be out there soon. I'll be seeing you next week. So please stay safe. Take care. Guys, COVID broke the economy, and now a recession may be coming. I know you're all watching the news, like me, concerned about what's going on in our nation, our economy, our small business, our stocks. I know you guys have got to be worried about this. A Federal Reserve survey broke some bad news, saying dating back to the 1950s, whenever inflation and unemployment have hit like today's high levels, history suggests that a recession may be near. Remember what happened in the last recession? I know what happened. I mean, in 2008, it was a nightmare. I remember that. I mean, for everyone, for my family, for me, for everyone else, people were worried about whether or not they'd have a job. We saw people lose everything. I don't want you to be in that position. I don't want to be in that position. My friends at Lear Capital shared how investing in physical gold and precious metals can be a brilliant strategy against what's coming. They know what they're talking about, folks. Smart investors are buying gold and precious metals now for two reasons. One, gold can be a great hedge during a recession. Two, the closer a recession gets, the more your gold could be worth, right? This is important. Don't let your retirement take a hit like 08. Talk with my team at Lear Capital. I'm telling you, talk with them. It's going to make a difference in your life about owning precious metals for your savings and your retirement accounts. Right now, you'll receive up to $10,000 in free bonus coins based on the value of gold coins you purchase. Visit LearSarah.com. That's LearSarah.com. That's Lear, LearSarah.com. LearSarah.com. You will not regret it.
Voy a ponerme la vacuna Prevnar 20 porque estoy en riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica,
la cual pudiera llevarme al hospital, así que preguntaré sobre Prevnar 20.
65 años o más, puedes estar en mayor riesgo de contraer la neumonía neumocócica. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico acerca de vacunarte con Prevnar 20, vacuna conjugada antineumocócica 20 valente, una vacuna de Pfizer que puede ayudar a proteger contra la neumonía neumocócica con una sola dosis. Prevnar 20 está aprobada para adultos para ayudar a prevenir infecciones contra 20 cepas de la bacteria que causa la neumonía neumocócica. La aprobación continua puede depender de un estudio de apoyo. No uses Prevnar 20 si has tenido una reacción alérgica grave a la vacuna o a sus componentes. Adultos con sistemas inmunitarios debilitados pueden tener una respuesta reducida a la vacuna. El efecto secundario más reportado fue dolor en el área de la inyección. Para más efectos secundarios comunes e información completa de prescripción, llama al 1-855-213-2138 o visita Prevnar20enespañol.com. Pregunta a tu médico o farmacéutico sobre Prevnar 20.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Yes, people that live in the bubble in Washington, D.C. make the stupidest comments and they think the American people are like agreeing with them or something because they say the stupidest, excuse my language, shit I have ever heard. And I give the award right now to MSNBC Nicole Wallace, who literally compared Governor Ron DeSantis, one of the greatest governors, one of the top five, I would say, in the United States of America, and Glenn Youngkin, another top five governor. I'll throw Governor Greg Abbott in there too. Their policies on protecting parents and the children, they compared those policies, she did, to Russian troops raping Ukrainian children, because both are dehumanizing. I want you to hear this.
And I worry that in covering Glenn Youngkin and his politics of parental choice, all the focus was on how well it worked. And even in our conversations about DeSantis, it's about how well they're serving him. The truth is, dehumanization as a tactic for politics is from war. Dehumanization is a tactic. It's being used right now. The Russians get their soldiers to rape children by dehumanizing them. Dehumanization as a practice is a tactic of war.
Her guest was just like staring at her like, I don't even know what the hell this woman's saying, but I'm just going to sit here and maybe I'll find a way out of this hole she's dug herself in. You know, the parental rights and education legislation is to protect parents and to protect our children. I don't need some teacher who's supposed to be teaching my kindergartner about ABCs and singing songs and the cute little animals outside and growing little flowers and cups to give to mom and dad on, you know, Mother's Day and Father's Day. I don't need that teacher basically indoctrinating my child into the LGBTQ community and confusing my young child about whether or not they're a girl or a boy. They are a child. I don't even know kids in kindergarten that are dealing with the issues that some of these adults are dealing with. This is insanity. You know, the parental legislation, education legislation, is there for a reason. And Governor DeSantis is doing the right thing. Look at what happened at Disney, guys. Look at what the CEO, Bob Chapek, right? This guy, look at what he has been lobbying for weeks. I canceled Disney Plus. I canceled it. I know my daughter was, I didn't even want her watching it anymore. After I saw what Disney was doing And after I saw what Disney does, even on its regular channel, I don't want my child watching. You may want. This is America. We have choices. But I don't want my child being indoctrinated into this kind of craziness. Our children have a right to be children. They don't need to be weighted down by adult craziness and adult decisions. They don't need to deal with that. I'm so sick of seeing kids shows that are always dealing with the crap. It's like we don't even give our kids a break. No wonder, you know, there's mental issues in America. You know, with our children, we're seeing a rise in suicides. We saw what happened under COVID. We see our kids depressed, feeling like they don't even know what to do with themselves. We need to start taking our children back. We need to start taking our nation back. And that's what I think Governor Ron DeSantis and Glenn Youngkin and Abbott and, you know, Ken Paxton, the AG here. We also have Mark Brnovich. I always bring him on, you know. I mean, all of these people fighting in the courts and doing the right thing to protect our borders, to protect our children, to protect our nation, to protect all of our ways of life. We are a melting pot. My mom was an immigrant. This is not about we don't want immigrants here. This is about owning something, right? When you have to sacrifice something, like when you work really hard and you pay your way through school, you feel proud of yourself. Like my mom or others who immigrated to this country the right way, or some of our forefathers, when you struggle and you find your way and you do things the right way, you're proud and you own something. It's about ownership. It's about taking pride in your country. And we can see with people like, you know, Nicole Wallace and all of these ideologues who've never had to deal with what we've dealt with, who've never taken a moment to go down to the border to see the kind of horrors that are happening there, or who have never had to deal with the issues. And I've dealt with them. I dealt with them. I had an uncle who was gay. I watched what happened. I have a very big heart. I'm open. I hope to think that I am an accepting human being, and I took care of him until the day he died, and he died of HIV and AIDS. In the end, I mean, it was full-blown AIDS, and there's nothing like that. But this nonsense about teaching our children, and then this nonsense by Nicole Wallace, I mean, I want to make fun of her, but it's crazy. It's crazy, folks. And we have to start taking back our country from the crazies. We got to call them out. We got to make, you know, we can't be the silent majority anymore. We got to call them out. We got to stand up for our country. We got to make some sacrifices. Maybe we won't get a lot of sleep, but we've got an election coming in November. And like I told you at the top of the show, this is what we can all do together, right? We have an election in November, midterm elections. We got to put the people in office that are going to care about us. And then we got to get ready for 2024. My God, we got to get ready for 2024, because if we don't, we could lose this great nation, and we're not going to let it happen. Thanks again for being a part of the Sarah Carter Show. Thank you so much, Chris Cabrera, for being on the show. I always want you back to give us updates on what's happening at the border. I think it's so important, and I look forward to having you back on. God bless all of you. God bless this great nation, and God bless the great state of Texas.
Today, I'm joined by Rebecca Weber, the CEO of the Association for Mature American Citizens. It's also known as AMAC. The most important question, I think, for so many people out there is, how much does AMAC membership cost? What does it cost the regular consumer?
Yeah, so for $16 a year, okay, or less, you can join at a 1, 3, or 5-year membership. You get a couple of things. You get the benefits. You get a great subscription to a magazine. So for $16, you're going to receive a bi-monthly magazine. But your voice is now going to be heard in Washington. We take our marching orders from you. If you stand for faith, family, freedom, if you believe in the Constitution, if you believe in the greatness of America, if you believe in individual freedoms and everything you just said, Sarah, $16 is not a lot of money to join the 2.3 million members that are really fighting hard to ensure that America remains the best country in the world.
Rebecca, thanks so much for being with me today. I'm honored to have you and AMAC as a sponsor for The Sarah Carter Show. You know, for more information, folks, visit AMAC.us/Carter.
Hey guys, we know it's hard to keep up with all the news these days, but don't worry because we're here to talk and laugh about it all. Jen Psaki is leaving the White House and going straight to MSNBC. Our southern border is still a major crisis and we are officially on TikTok. We're not holding back. Hey, it's the Chicks here from the Chicks on the Right podcast. Download and subscribe to our daily podcast to hear us pick apart and pick on the news of the day. Politics to pop culture, nobody's safe, but it's all fun. Subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.